From Nashville and Charlotte, this is the Shrink Tank Podcast. Each week, our panel of shrinks takes a look at pop culture through the fascinating lens of psychology. I'm Dave Verhagen here in Nashville. I'm a psychologist, author, Comic-Con panelist, and the next president of these United States. And our trending topic today is What's Up with Katy Perry? We'll get to that in our second segment, but first let me introduce our Charlotte panel, which includes psychologist, author, AspieCon founder, and Comic-Con panelist, Dr. Frank Gaskell. Hello, Frank.
Hello, David. It's great to see you again.
Yes, we just saw each other this weekend for Heroes Con in Charlotte. Very fun.
Very, very fun.
So we both judged one panel and we were on another panel, and that was a pretty good time. What was your highlight of the whole thing?
I think it was getting a Lego Xenomorph, which is the monster from Aliens, and it's custom, and I love it. I love it long time.
That was a great add-on there.
Yes. My favorite things that I got there were, you know, those little pop figures. I got a El Kabong, which was Quick Draw McGraw's alter ego when he wore a mask and would hit people with a guitar. And then I got another pop figure from Rick and Morty, which was Mr. Poopy Butthole. So very proud of that.
Wow. Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Well, yeah. Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Mm-hmm. Also on the panel is not quite Dr. Wright, Emma Kate Wright. She's a doctoral intern in psychology. She's a contributor to ShrinkTank.com. Hello, Emma Kate.
Hi.
And when we say you're not quite Dr. Wright, we're not going to be able to say that much longer. How close are you?
I am defending on June 27th. Very excited.
You're so defensive.
Yep. Oh, gosh.
So once you defend, then you're done.
Yes. I technically have to, you know, graduate, but then it's the end.
So you will be Dr. Wright at that point.
Yes.
All right. Well, then my clever little intro will have to change.
Yep.
And finally on the panel, Jonathan Hederle's here. He's a licensed professional counselor and an expert on substance abuse treatment. He's also a certified Asian who has written published book chapters on Game of Thrones, Star Wars, and The Walking Dead. He's also served as a panelist for Heroes Con. Each week, he rounds up two great stories of psychology in the news that we call Being Human.
This first research looks at how feeling powerful at work makes us feel worse when we get home. So there's abundant research that shows when people feel powerful, they tend to abuse others. Now, new research found that on days when participants of a certain research study felt powerful, they reported having more negative interactions with others. And these negative interactions came in two forms. They either reported engaging in more abusive behavior towards others, like yelling or swearing at them, but they also perceived more incivility from others. They felt that coworkers either addressed them in a condescending tone or more unprofessionally. So, Frank, as our resident power psychologist, does power make people feel worse at the end of the day?
Yes, I agree with this article. I thought it was really interesting to think about and that it's just saying, you know, power corrupts absolutely, but in reality, it really doesn't. And the thing that gives hope to these situations is this factor of agreeableness that they talk about. And while I was listening to this article, I was thinking about our great Dave Verhagen and his leadership over the years and how he has given kind words to people and has been agreeable. And actually, none of that's true. I apologize. He's one of the most disagreeable, mean leaders I've ever met.
Yeah.
Just kidding. But no, I think there's a lot of truth to it. And if you're an agreeable person in a powerful position, you tend to care for them and you don't get stuck in these power situations.
Are you an agreeable person in a powerful position, Frank?
I don't feel powerful, nor do I feel agreeable, but I care for people, I think. Yes, sure.
Wow, you convinced me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow,
you nailed it.
I mean, people say nice things about me. I don't always see it, but people do say nice things.
But you also sign their checks, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's okay,
important.
That's why.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, moving on, this next story that's trending in our culture actually asks the question, does antidepressants hurt your ability to empathize and reason? So Michelle Carter, she's a teen that stands accused of urging her friend Conrad Roy to kill himself in 2014. And at the time, she was prescribed antidepressants that, according to a psychiatrist, may have impeded her abilities to empathize with others and make sound decisions. So Dr. Peter Bregan spoke at the court hearing about the effects of Celexa, a medication that treats depression and anxiety. And the psychiatrist said Celexa can inhibit impulse control, and drugs like Celexa disrupt the frontal lobe function, and that the young brain is more susceptible to harm from such drugs. So, Emma Kate, what do you think of this court case, and what is your opinion of the defense that Celexa hurts the defendant's ability to empathize and reason?
I think that this is just a really sad situation all around, and I don't think that the defense has a very good case at all. So, you know, the frontal lobe of your brain is responsible for inhibiting impulses and whatnot, and that doesn't fully develop until your mid-20s. So their defense that, oh, well, you know, this medication was causing damage to her front, I mean, they wouldn't let people take this medicine if that was the case. And there are plenty of adolescents out there who, you know, have underdeveloped frontal lobes, and they're not encouraging their significant others to follow through with the suicide. So this is just, it's terrible.
Emma Kate, I would like to let all of you know that I am part of this defense team.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm more of an expert witness, to be honest.
Okay.
I take Celexa, and I'm completely normal.
You are. Wow.
So
this case
has
just been blown up.
Really, really bad. Really bad defense.
Right. You're not the least bit impulsive or lacking in empathy or...
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
And you have a teenage brain.
But Frank is old. His frontal lobe is just damaged. It's not underdeveloped. It's
your face is damaged.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Great comeback, Frank.
There is an empathetic leader right there. Right?
You're damaged.
Frank, you're going to feel worse when you go home now.
All righty. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, it'll be our trending topic, which is What's Up with Katy Perry? This is the Shrink Tank Podcast.
Good psychology can change your life. At PsychBytes, we feature articles and videos with practical psychology that you can use every day. PsychBytes is a new psychology website with free articles and videos from dozens of the best psychology experts. Check it out on psychbytes.com.
Welcome back to the Shrink Tank Podcast. I'm Dave Verhagen in Nashville, along with Frank Gaskell, Jonathan Hederle, and Emma Kate Wright in Charlotte. And our trending topic today is Katy Perry, as in, what's the deal with Katy Perry? And we're going to talk about her feuds with other celebrity women, whether her mental health issues that she's talking about come across as authentic or not, and all of that and more. But first, I want to go around the panel and ask, Jonathan, do you have an opinion about Katy Perry's music? Do you like it?
I don't really care for it. I don't actively hate her or her music, but I find it pretty mediocre and easy to dismiss.
All right. How about you, Frank?
I like that firework song and her whole thing she did with Victoria's Secret and the fashion show. I thought that was cool.
You're talking like Forrest Gump here. I like this, and that's all I have to say about Katy Perry.
Mama said these were my magic shoes.
Oh, boy.
How about you, Emma Kate?
I enjoy her music in the sense that it is kind of just an easygoing, poppy sound. I don't think lyrically she's that in-depth or, you know, super meaningful, but I don't dislike her music.
All right, let's stick with you. So let me just ask you the opening question. What do you think is going on with her? First, describe these, like, feuds and the mental health stuff, and then what's your take on what's going on with Katy Perry?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, her new album, Witness, just dropped. And part of this album is essentially she's trying to shed this, she's trying to be more authentic, more herself, more of a unique artist. And I'm not into it. I think she keeps talking about Taylor Swift, and she keeps bringing up that feud when that really needs to be done and over. She changed the lyrics to one of her songs on the album, Swish Swish, to God Bless You Baby Girl. And it's just like, why? It feels like she's just milking that for all that it's worth. Additionally, she kind of before the album came out, she live streamed some therapy where she talked about how she wanted to be more Catherine Hudson, which is her actual name. And so she cut her hair because she didn't want to look like Katy Perry. But I find that ironic given that she made a comment about Britney Spears and how in between recordings, she basically said, I haven't shaved my hair yet, so I'm doing great. And, you know, she recently ranked her lovers, and it's just there's so much going on there, so I'm a little concerned about her, and I also am I'm just not into whatever she's doing right now.
All right, and so let me pick up on the idea about her making those comments about Britney Spears and that kind of thing. So she's making kind of a disparaging comment about Britney Spears' mental health, and then she's at the same time she's live streaming her therapy sessions, and she's making a point of talking about her own mental health issues. What's your take on the whole mental health angle with Katy Perry?
Well, I think it would be this really fantastic thing if she was deciding to do this at a time when she wasn't releasing an album. You know, this really could be something very powerful, but she did it right in time for her album to drop. And so to me, it just screams desperate and trying to stay relevant, and I do not like it.
You tend to be pretty cynical about these celebrity mental health things, so...
You know, because there is such an opportunity there, and I feel like they always miss the mark, and I don't know why, maybe that's the media and how it's being portrayed, but I have a hard time with it because it feels inauthentic.
Let me shed a little bit of light on this, people. All right, now here's the deal.
I'm going to sit back now.
Here's the deal. Katy Perry grew up in an incredibly strict environment. Her mom,
very religious, for those who don't know.
Okay, she was not allowed to watch the Smurfs or Harry Potter. And when they served deviled eggs, they had to be called angeled eggs. I'm not making this up. They're eating angeled eggs. And so what happened? She grew up and played the girl Smurf from the Smurfs. So it's like if you grow up like that, you're going to get a little crazy. And maybe now she's kind of figuring it out. I don't know. But also, the other thing is, these people are surrounded by these marketing people who say, you know, you should do this thing to make a big splash. That's kind of what everybody does. And I don't know if that's bad or not.
Yeah. Jonathan?
Well, I mean, I echo what Emma Kate's talking about. The timing is really, suspect, right around the release of a new album. And it's one thing to kind of use your celebrity status as a platform to champion mental health, but it just feels like back in February with that dismissive remark around Britney Spears, like she's had plenty of opportunity to champion a lot of mental health kind of advocacy, and I don't think her track record is great. And so all of a sudden for her to be just opening up about this to where others aren't asking her, she's almost like, you know, throwing this at them. It just does. It feels a little bit like a marketing ploy, even if it is very sincere, even if this is really not a marketing arc that's been kind of created, just the way that it's being delivered, kind of I feel uncomfortable about it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. To be honest, I tend to be a little less or a lot less cynical than Emma Kate about the whole celebrity mental health thing. In fact, we've on Shrink Tank, we've featured a lot of celebrities. We've given in the last 2 years an award to Lindsay Sterling as champion of mental health. The year before, Reed Ewing of Modern Family. We talked to him about his mental health struggles. And other celebrities, we've really celebrated them being advocates and coming out with their own stories and that kind of thing. This one just feels so prepackaged, and the whole like the live streaming of therapy, I have such mixed feelings about that part of it, but it feels like a way to draw attention to yourself more than a way to highlight true like mental health and therapy, you know, like positive reflection on therapy. What's your take on that side of it? The live streaming of the therapy sessions and things like that for her, Emma Kate.
Well, you know, and I watched part of it. I didn't watch all of it. And I think there was a lot of genuine, you know, Catherine Hudson coming out within that. But the problem that I have, and I do think it's important to state, I'm not always cynical with mental health.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No.
Yes.
I do look at it with through this critical lens, though, because they really have such an opportunity to, you know, be a catalyst for good, but yet, you know, again, sometimes they miss the mark. And I feel like that's what she did here, where, again, she you see this true Catherine Hudson coming out where she's talking about herself. But then the fact that, like, she did this right when her album is dropping. And then, you know, she was so hypocritical with the fact that she shaved her hair to have this pixie cut when that's exactly what she said about Britney Spears. And I can't help but think, oh, there was somebody that just said you should do that. So I don't know. I have a hard time with the whole therapy piece that she did.
I think she has potentially one of two either problems or struggles going on. One is, I think, from a critical and artistic standpoint, she doesn't have an identity. Like, if you think about Beyonce, who I think in some ways she's trying to emulate, she's trying to be a brand, she's trying to be a movement, she's trying to be taken seriously. And most people in the music industry don't think of Katy Perry as a serious artist or entertainer. I mean, she may make hits and she may have a following, but that following, most of those fans are not about the depth or the social commentary that she provides. And I think she's trying to take that next step, and it feels very awkward. But then on a more personal level, like even when Frank talks about some of her background, is I sometimes wonder if she really has a well-developed sense of self, even. Like, who is Katy Perry apart from wanting to be a celebrity, wanting to be taken seriously, wanting to be important and to be loved? And there's just so many signals that suggest that it's not there. She doesn't have it.
She's going through teenagers.
It really does feel like that.
And just a comment, I think they did actually address that within the therapy session, where she felt probably kind of stifled. And so she created this larger than life character that became very successful. She felt like she didn't know who she was. And so then she created this persona.
Yeah.
So she is lost, and she's trying to figure all that out right now.
Well, the whole career trajectory feels like someone who doesn't have a clear sense of identity. You know, she started off as a Christian artist, and then she went in this sort of pop angle with very provocative stuff. And then there's not really whereas you used Beyonce as an example. Beyonce's got a clear sort of message and a clear women's empowerment kind of theme. Katy Perry just seems like she's all over the place stylistically, but also thematically too with her career. So it does. Yeah. It feels like someone that doesn't know who she is yet.
And I give her, like, I mean, I'm very kind of cynical or troubled by how this is all playing out. But the one angle I really do sympathize and empathize with Katy Perry is I do think the music industry is so cutthroat, and there does seem to be this objectification, you know, and a real narrow sphere of women in the industry. And I think in some ways that plays into why they have such prominence with feuds between female artists. It just feels like there's this narrow trajectory that they allow young female artists to, you know, to kind of hold on to. And it almost feels like it's very cutthroat, where they pit them against one another.
Well, it also brings to mind that saying, you just got to ignite the light and let it shine and just own the night like it's the 4th of July. That's really kind of sums that up for me.
It sums it up for us all, Frank.
Yeah. Like a firework.
Yeah, thank
you.
Yeah.
All of you are fireworks. Yeah.
We're all fireworks, each and every one of us.
Thanks for that, Frank.
Emma Kate, any last thoughts about Katy Perry with this whole situation or how to think about it well?
I mean, I guess, again, if we remove my cynicism, then there is some really good stuff that can come from this. I do like we are having this conversation, so to speak. We are talking about mental health, and that is always something that I'm a big advocate for. So I like that we're even having this discussion. So I'll leave it at that.
Well, it feels different than other times because there have been some celebrities who've gone off the rails and then they have to publicly address the mental health stuff. And then there's some that we haven't seen what's going on, and then they they kind of come out and say, I really struggled with depression or anxiety or substance abuse or whatever. It feels like there are two weird things happening at the same time here where she feels like there's some, I think we're all sensing something's kind of coming apart a little bit. And at the same time, she's like trying to actively, almost like in real time, live stream her own coming to terms with some of her own mental health struggles, probably a lot due to her, you know, what we're saying, the upbringing. But it feels almost like we're experiencing this in a real time kind of way. And so you don't have a sense of where this is going. Like it really right. could be 6 months from now, she's, you know, in a way worse place. It's not a sense of like, I've dealt with this and this, I've come out on the other side of this, or I had a public meltdown and now I've had to deal with it. It's more like I'm in the process of kind of having to deal with all this stuff while I'm transmitting all these messages about how I'm dealing with it. It's a strange kind of, I think we're all sensing that this could go in any direction for her. And there's some concern about that.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a celebrity who's doing some great things. We'll let you know about that in our last segment. And this is the Shrink Tank Podcast.
Hero House Publishing is pleased to announce Heroic Inspirations by Michael Kreitzer. Over the ages, superheroes in various forms have been speaking to humanity in togas, robes, and now tights and capes. They speak to us about the human condition. They help us work through our fears and failures. Heroic Inspirations draws out rich lessons superheroes provide for our daily lives. How does Superman teach us to deal with difficult people? What do the X-Men tell us about balancing individual and communal identities? Superheroes speak to these and many other life questions. Michael Kreitzer has been researching and teaching on superheroes for over 10 years, and now his book, Heroic Inspirations, is available to you at herohousepublishing.com or amazon.com. Order your copy today.
Back again with Dave Verhagen, Frank Gaskell, Jonathan Hederle, and Emma Kate Wright on the Shrink Tank Podcast, and we wrap it all up with a look at Carolina Panthers tight end Greg Olsen. And you guys are anchored in Charlotte, and so Greg Olsen is a local celebrity, but anybody who follows the NFL knows he's one of the best football players in the league, not only best in terms of a great football player, but really a great man, too. He founded the Greg Olsen Foundation. It helps fund cancer research. His mother, Sue, is a cancer survivor, and each year his foundation sponsors Kicks for the Cure, a kickball tournament. It's the largest charity kickball event in the world. And it's held in Chicago's Grant Park. And Frank, you've had are familiar with the personal example with Greg Olsen. What is that?
Yeah, since 2010, the Carolina Panthers have linked up with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And there were a lot of kids selected or interviewed, and they selected, I believe, seven or so. And they all these kids all wanted to be a Panther for a day. But there was one kid, his name's Foster Hales, a 17-year-old from Monroe, North Carolina, who actually wanted to be Greg Olsen. And I follow Greg on Snapchat, and I was in the Panthers, and you're able to see all the things that he did for this 17-year-old kid, introducing him to players and giving him a helmet. He sat down and watched film and plays with him. He got to work out with the tight ends, and I was just really impressed with how selfless he was and personally engaged he was with the kid. And this just seems like an example of a real straight and narrow, awesome guy that holds the power and responsibility that he has in a really kind and giving way.
Yeah, he's a guy that I know everyone in Charlotte has a lot of respect for and a ton of regard for. And he's doing things locally like that. He's doing things nationally. So a good guy. Felt like we were going to be remiss if we didn't feature him, and in the future, more celebrities that are actually using their platform for really good things and taking their power and responsibility seriously and
putting some good out there in the world. So we're really grateful to him. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Shrink Tank Podcast. We hope you'll check out shrinktank.com for articles, videos, and polls about all kinds of things in pop culture. And make sure you check out our Champions of Mental Health articles on shrinktank.com. And also follow us on Twitter at shrink_tank and like us on Facebook by searching for the Shrink Tank Podcast. Our producer and theme music composer is Sean Beck. In the Queen City, it's Emma Kate Wright, Jonathan Hederle, and Frank Gaskell. And from Music City, I'm Dave Verhagen. Thanks for listening. Please tell your friends about us and make it a good week.